Wings in the Morning. And it goes like this. Wings in the morning and license to fly, straight to the portals of nevermore high. Nevermore pain in them old aching bones. Wings in the morning to carry us home. My grandfather lived by the book all his life, on rich bottom land with 12 kids and a wife. He never saw TV nor rode a jet plane, but he knew that heaven was holding his claim. Wings in the morning and license to fly, straight to the portals of nevermore die. Nevermore pain in them old aching bones. Wings in the morning to carry us home. The salt of the earth, yet with faith in the Lord, they all got together in that one accord. And what could be greater than God's guarantee that we can have heaven for eternity? Wings in the morning and license to fly, straight to the portals of nevermore die. Nevermore pain in them old aching bones. Wings in the morning to carry us home. Rocks in the road and we stumble and fall. Lights getting no, so we don't see at all. But I promise you on that getting up day, wings in the morning and we'll fly away. Wings in the morning and license to fly, straight to the portals of nevermore die. Nevermore pain in them old aching bones. Wings in the morning to carry us home. Wings in the morning. Wings in the morning to carry us home.
Welcome to Cowboy Church. It is good to be here with you all. It's good to be amongst God's people tonight. We're going to start with scripture, but before we do, I've got a couple of short piece and then a bit out of Revelation. But we were doing a little study this week on crowns and the rewards that are going to be ours. And there's in the Bible there's a few crowns mentioned, and the reason for the crowns. And some of them are sound really hard, like suffering for Christ. There's a crown for that. But Paul mentions another crown in 2 Timothy 4. We'll read 7 and 8, and it's his farewell message. He's saying that his time is short. And he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And all who have loved his appearing, that's the people who are looking for our Lord and Savior to come again, watching those clouds, looking forward to the day. We get a crown for that. That's an easy one. You pick up that one. Come on. We're going to do a little of that tonight. We're going to sing We Shall See the King, and we're going to celebrate that. And I've got a little piece of scripture to read too in Revelation. The end of Revelation 22, verses 1 through 5. I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version. And it's talking about what happens at the end. Revelation 22, and it goes like this. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Praise God. Bow your head, please. Father God, I thank you so much, Lord, that one of these days you will say to our Lord, it's time, and he will come and take us home. I thank you, God, that there's a crown for those who are looking for your appearing, Lord. Lord, we are so grateful that you have made that promise, Lord, that one day we will be with you and we will never leave your side again. We thank you, God, for giving us life, for giving us this place and time, for calling us to be your servants and your children. I thank you, Lord, for the works that you have laid up for us to do, and that there are things yet on this world that need our attention. And I pray, God, that you would fill us tonight with your Spirit, Lord, that you would bring us closer to you, that you would prepare us and you would teach us, and you would enable us, Lord, to be your servants and your emissaries in this world. I pray, God, that your hand would be upon this service, that you would uplift us all closer to you and bring us into your presence tonight. We pray these things, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, you were here maybe last week and on Friday night, and a lot of change has taken place in your life since then. Just take a look at Grace. No, don't look at Grace. You know when the extension out of the back, the trailer extension on the back of a truck is sticking out and you hit that? Have you ever hit one? I'll tell you, it is a painful experience. And Grace found that out. She did. So between many of you, what happened from last Friday to now, there were some of you that have lost loved ones. This week, all you had to hear the news, there were some from last Friday. Today, they're no longer on earth. That 21-year-old girl on Highway 16 that a gravel truck turned in front of her, she's not here anymore. Maybe this week you had financial situations. Maybe your wife made you do something you didn't want to do.
I've heard of that.
On her honey-do list. But things happened in one week that influenced our lives and might influence our lives forever. I want to share this one with you that all of you are familiar with. On June the 26th, it showed how our lives can change suddenly. Two American astronauts were taking a routine trip to the International Space Station. I would not call that routine. Not in my life. A routine trip to the International Space Station for 8 days. The plan was to return to Earth, but the spacecraft on which they were to return was deemed unsafe. They found they didn't have an electric plug-in on the space. Sorry, I couldn't resist that. I'm sorry. Can you imagine getting to a spaceship and station and the ship ain't working? Like, how do you get off this thing? Come on, work with me here a little bit. 9 months later, they came back. So 9 months, not 2 weeks, 9 months. Do you know how much you could age in 9 months? I mean, when they got back, as maybe some of you followed, their muscles were in such bad shape, they just had to kind of rebuild their bodies. No gravity. But can life change? And sometimes we expect things to change really suddenly, like now, and sometimes it takes months, maybe years before there's a change. But tonight we're going to look at what God has to say about our new bodies. I am so excited about this, I am telling you. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know, I'm now using the New Living Translation. For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body, made for us by God Himself and not by human hands. Can we even imagine that? Someday we're going to have a new body. Daryl is going to have new ankles, praise God. For those of you right now that maybe have been having issues with different parts of your body, soon and very soon we're going to see the King. And this old house I'm living in is needing a repair. I am out of here. And if you want to stay, go ahead. We will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God Himself, not by human hands. We grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. This year we had three of our grandchildren graduate, one from the University of Alberta with a Bachelor of Education, our other granddaughter out of Nate with as a tech doing x-ray and blood work and all that, and our grandson, grade 12. Do you know, when I look at him, I'm going, wow, he looks just like me. Praise God. I once had a body like that at 17. The guy is amazing. But it reminds me that someday I am going to have a new body. How do I know that? Because I just read it. God said you're going to have a new body. The thing is, do you believe it? Amen. Do you really believe it? You won't have to get out your tray of pills in the morning anymore. You won't. And that hearing aid, give it to your neighbor. You don't need it. You're going to have a new body. We grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. Isn't it something when you get something new from Value Village? Just awesome. This stuff isn't in my notes, trust me. You get something new, and it just feels good. You know, I used to, really, at Easter times, I just remember how my mom used to dress up for Easter. She'd get that new hat, and she'd have these white gloves on. And I mean, she looked We don't do those things anymore. Maybe I'm just old-fashioned. But my mom knew she looked good. And she felt good. There's something about dressing up that just does something for you. We long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing, for we will. We will put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies. See, our the spirit that lives in us, that God put in us, because we're made in His image, that does not die. Your spirit lives forever. Those that say when you die and they just put you in the ground and it's all over, that is a lie from the pits of hell. He says you should love the Lord your God with your whole heart, your soul, your body, and your mind. Your heart is your emotional part of you, your heart. The soul is the part that God planted there and it lives on forever. Your mind is the part that you rationalize with. You think things through. Love the Lord your God with your whole heart, soul, body, and mind. With your body, that your body is healthy if your soul is healthy. You know, when you look at a person, you can tell a lot of times when you look in their eyes how they're doing. The Bible says the eyes are the gateway to the soul. Do you know what I see today? I see a lot of sad eyes. Sad eyes. I'd have to look it up in my concordance, but I'll give it to you after. Trust me, it's biblical. The eyes are the gateway to the soul. If you look up in a concordance eyes, you'll find it, but I'll give it to you after. It's a good question. Thank you for asking that. It's important, the eyes. If you got joy in your spirit, it's going to come up through your eyes. I noticed after COVID, a lot of people, when I'm walking in Costco, I like looking at people in their eyes. But after COVID, they don't want to make eye contact with you. Like, what's your problem? And when they do, then they smile at you. The only place that I found when we're living in England, I don't know why it was over there, but people will not make eye contact. They always look away. What's with that? Why won't you look at me? I'm so glad you're all looking at me tonight. Praise God, you're all looking at me. Wow. Or what's behind me here? Is there something else? Eyes are the gateway to the soul. Yeah, it was so good to visit with Daryl on Wednesday. Just to spend time with him. I mean, you just about have to book in there. He's so busy with visitors. Maybe it was just because I was there. I don't know. But we're praying for Daryl's recovery. When a man of his stature with two broken ankles, it's going to take the Lord's healing hand upon that body to restore him and heal him and bring him back to health. That we will, while we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies, so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. Paul would write, to live as Christ, to die as gain. He said, I'm torn. I want to stay here and I want to be with you and I want to lead you. I'm torn. But I want to be with Jesus. I feel torn. Like, there's days I don't want to leave my kids, my grandkids, my great-grandkids. And by the way, we have another one on the way. Praise God. You're torn. In times like that, you want to stay. But to be home with Jesus, that's our ultimate destination. Whether you know it or not, one out of one dies. Have you looked around lately? One out of one does die. Do you know anybody that's 112 years old? How old? 103, that's a good run. How many? 520. Yeah? 520. You know, there's one in every crowd, I'll tell you. Where's the ushers when you need them? I appreciate that, brother. I like it when guys talk to me. I want to read this story of a pastor. A straight-laced pastor who spent most of Friday and Saturday nights worrying that somewhere, somehow, one of his church members might be having fun. He's got a problem. The joy of the Lord. If you can get anything out of this, get the joy of the Lord down inside of you. Because this old world is going to suck the life out of you. Because if all you watch is that box at home, I'm telling you, don't sit there with a bag of chips in one hand and the remote in the other. You ain't going to last long. You've got to get around people that have the joy of the Lord, that are excited about life. I had an experience on Thursday morning. Our daughter and son-in-law and their daughter, my granddaughter, were flying down to Montreal to watch the Esk play football tonight. I know they should have either won or lost. We should know that just about now. They haven't been doing well. But anyways, our grandson plays with the Esks. So they were, I took him to the, or Elks, sorry. I still haven't got up with it, but anyways. I took him to the airport. I got up at 4:30 in the morning. Oh, you've got to be kidding me. Get him to the airport. Just got home, and Annette was on. I said, well, I might as well sit and have a coffee now. The phone rings. It's my son-in-law, Hank. Yes? I can't get on the flight. What do you mean you can't get on the flight? My license expired on my birthday, July the 16th, and I've been driving without a license since then. You're kidding me. And they won't let me on my flight. I have no ID. So what are you saying? You got to come pick me up. Great. Pardon me? No, the Elks are playing Montreal right now as I speak. So, said, can you pick me up? Do I have to? I'm not Uber. Back out to the airport. Have you ever done that, Queenie, in the morning twice? So anyways, driving back to the airport, and we're driving back, and driving back home, and he said, they told me that I maybe can get a deal on a flight, but I just have to go on email and email it in.
Online,
I guess it is. So while I'm driving, he said, I just found a flight for $195 to Montreal. I said, $195 to Montreal? Yeah, he said, they're filling seats. He said, but I got to be back within an hour. Oh, bro. Now this preacher's speeding because I got to get his passport. Back to Sherwood Park. Going back, I'm passing everything on Queenie, too. If I'd have got a ticket, so help me, he would pay it. So back to the airport, got there in time, and flew out on Air Canada. Now, I said, they're going on strike. If they strike and you're midair, you're going to stay up there forever. So he made it, praise God. He's in Montreal. I said, for $195, you can't even start your car for that. I mean, go to Montreal. But anyways, I just threw that in there. There's a point to my preaching. There is. Stay with me. How quickly things can change. Who would ever thought? Now, all of you, I want you to go home. You don't get a brown envelope in the mail anymore. You don't. So if your license runs out or your registration runs out, the cop will say, I don't care, $500, tow the car.
He's a bus driver's license.
Well, yeah, and he has his bus license, so he has to get a physical and all of that stuff. But things can change so quickly. So as we continue on here, we're getting to the good part. God himself has prepared us for this, and here it is. And as a guarantee, he has given us his Holy Spirit. Has the Holy Spirit taken up residence in your life? Because when you're born again, when you invite Jesus in to be your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in and takes up residence, and you're born again. You're a new creation. All things are passed away. All things have passed away. You're born again. That old lifestyle you're living in or have been doing, you're changed. And now you're turning towards the light and you're leaving the old world behind you. You're done. You're not going back there. You're not going to continue to dabble in that rot and that waste because the devil wants you on a slab. And he won't give up till he gets you. If you think you just continue on to live and say, oh, I love you, Jesus. Well, I do a little this, I do a little. No. You can't go there. You're a new creation. That old draw no longer has a hold of you in your life. And every time that old devil comes knocking on your door, you send Jesus to answer that door. Send Jesus to the door, and he will tell the devil that your sins were nailed on the cross. It's done. So we are always confident, even though that we know as long as we live in these bodies, we're not home with the Lord. Yeah. We're going to have trials and tribulation. I know when I speak a message like this and you have younger people in the audience, well, they said, you know what, I still want to get married, want to have kids and all these things. That's true. All Paul is saying here, be ready for that day. Be ready. Every day be ready. And many times for young people that maybe are experiencing difficulties with their bodies not working properly, and I want to share this one with you, and you're all very familiar with this. Joni Erickson Tada. Today she's 75 years old. Her spouse is Ken Tada. I like the name. Good name. Ken Tada. She was born July the 30th, 1967. When she was 17 years old, she dove into the Chesapeake Bay into shallow water and broke her neck plus two or three vertebrae in her back, and she has been paralyzed from the neck down since the age of 17. And yet you read Joni's testimony, that woman has a joy of the Lord in her, even though someone has to lift her out of that bed every day. That is the joy of the Lord. We think we're going through difficult times sometimes. Look around you. But her testimony of how she has shared her life with someone and how many people have come to the Lord because of Joni Tada. Since she was 17, she did not give up. The one thing she wanted most of all was to have children. But it wasn't possible. But Joni's own words saying, someday when I see Jesus, I'm going to get up and walk to Jesus. I haven't walked since I was 17 years old. That is when we get our new body. Is that my cue to quit? I'm not sure with Jamie today, he might turn off my mic. I'm not sure. For we live by believing and not by seeing. Can you get that down inside of you? You live by believing, not seeing. Because if you look around today at the world, you'd say there's no hope here. How many people you hear today that I don't want to live any longer? This year as a pastor has been a difficult year in me because I have officiated many, many funerals of individuals who've OD'd on the back alleys of Edmonton. And every time I get so mad at the devil, say, get your hands off our people. They are of great value. This world needs them. This is no place to be standing beside them in a cemetery. It's a waste. And it has to stop. For we have, by believing, not seeing, yes, we are fully confident. And we would rather be away from these earthly bodies. For then we'll be at home with the Lord. I'm soon and very soon, I'm going to see the King. We sang that tonight. We don't know when that will be. There's been times I preached on Sunday and a parishioner passed away by Thursday and we were doing a funeral by Saturday. We don't know. But one thing, you need to be ready. I can't do that for you. It's up to you. So whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please Him. And here's the word all. I'm finally getting to it. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged, every one of us. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. I can't add any more to than that. You know, I always say I don't want to be in the lineup behind someone like Paul. I don't want to be behind Paul. But one thing I'm going to do, I'm going to run with everything that I have. I want to stand behind a pulpit till Jesus calls me home. There is no other reason for me to live than to preach God's word with authority and conviction. There's no other reason to be on this earth. And God has a work for each one of us to do, and if you don't know, you better ask the Lord. He'll show you. Whether you have the gift of encouragement, the gift of listening, you all have giftings. God did not create junk. Now start using your giftings. And if you don't know what they are, man, I'll pray with you till we find out what it is. You have giftings.
Can I say
something? Yes, go ahead, Grace. Bless her heart. She was the Good Samaritan.
Yes.
There are people like that. You don't know, tonight on the way home, something could happen. There could be a wreck. I pray that none of us will drive by. But we'll stop and give a helping hand and be a good Samaritan. Because we're reminded of what Jesus did for us. And there isn't one thing Jesus did wrong. He went to that cross willingly and he bore my sins, that I might have life. And that life is in him. I'm forever grateful. And I know right now he's sitting at the right hand of the Father interceding on your behalf. He's interceding for you. He knows you by name. And in that, there's an assurance. And in it, a peace and a joy. And last week, I concluded with Romans 15:13. But I want you to know that in Acts 1:9, it says that Jesus ascended into heaven, and he's ascending, and the disciples are looking up. And Jesus is going up. And then two angels are standing there and said, why are you looking up? This Jesus, as you saw him go, he's coming back. That's Bible. Acts 1:9, look it up. As you saw him go, he's coming back. And he had that resurrection body that I'm going to have. They're eating and all of a sudden, bam, Jesus is in the room. Whoa, no door. Someday I'm going to have a body like that. And when we get to heaven, I want to see, Kenny, if you can catch me. I'll outrun you every time. We're going to run. Man, are we going to run. But I believe the first 1,000 years will just be on our face worshiping the Lord. We hear thousands upon thousands of angels singing, oh my word. That is going to be amazing when we hear that music. And you'll know you're in heaven when you see those four seraphim angels flying around the throne. Isaiah saw them, Ezekiel saw them, and John saw them. There's four angels and they got six wings. And with two wings they cover their face, with two they cover their feet, and they fly around the throne singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You'll know you're in heaven when you see them, I'm telling you. And the other sign will be the rainbow over the crown, over Jesus. There's going to be the rainbow. It says so. Watch for those four angels. And it says one has the head of an eagle, one has the head of an ox, one has the head of a man, and one has the head of a lion. I'll tell you, Star Trek has nothing on heaven. You're going to see some stuff that's just going to shock you. But you'll know you're there when you see them angels. Read about it. Go to Revelation. John saw it. It's there for you. So let's close tonight with Romans 15:13. This is the closing text. Now may the God of hope, here it is, fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. There it is, all joy and peace. May you leave this place today knowing that joy and that peace. In Jesus' name I pray.
May God give you gentle horses and an even trail to ride. Jenny.